Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
I hope everybody had a great week this week. And today we're talking about the recently released The Monkey, and directed by Osgood Perkins, and it was a fantastic journey.
Absolutely.
It was very comedic for what it was, very dark, gory. It was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was done really well. I mean, I liked Long Legs. And again, some of the reviews I've seen for this movie, I mean, there's mixed reviews. There's either you really, really like it or you just hate it. And there's people that love Long Legs that hated this one.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's kind of, as you look at things, obviously Long Legs was more of a serious.
Yeah, very serious.
It was very serious, you know, dark movie. Whereas The Monkey, if you didn't have all the comedic elements, it could be very disturbing.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
But due to the fact that it was thrown together so slapstick, it was
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go to a movie personally that a certain director directs and expect the same thing every time. That would get boring.
Yeah.
So, like, I like the fact that, you know, like, in every movie that you watch, he, you know, Osgood Perkins completely switches it up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, yeah, I like the atmosphere of it, man. It was just, like you said, it was very slapstick, you know? But had a good story, too. I think if it didn't have the story that it had, you know, obviously it's based off of the short story. It has some elements from the short story. But other than that, like, you know, names and stuff like that. But other than that, it's pretty much an original kind of.
Yeah, it's similar to what Kubrick did with The Shining. It essentially, it plays off, the foundation was built by the Stephen King story.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then everything above and beyond that is kind of at the discretion of the director.
Yeah.
But one thing that we can say about this one that we can't say about The Shining is Kubrick and King were completely at each other's necks the whole time.
Because he doesn't like...
He did not like Kubrick. Yeah. Kubrick actually paid homage and killed him in the movie. So literally like that, you know, this is completely different. Stephen King has gone on record raving about what, you know, Perkins has done with this film.
He enjoyed the kill scenes and... Which 22 on-screen kill scenes, and not counting the giant freaking massacre that's at the end, but the 22 on-screen ones. But yeah, he loved that one. He, you know, was excited about the kill scenes, and yeah, but yeah, The Shining, yeah, he did not like.
No, he didn't.
But he prefers the other Shining.
Well, he preferred his own, like, pseudo-version of The Shining, which was, you know, yeah, I don't know. Give or take.
With the floating ghost and all that. Yeah. But yeah, this movie, I mean, go check it out. I mean, it's done very well. I like it a lot. I liked it. There was a lot of people in the theater that liked it. Left my jaw open at the kill scenes. And I'm just like, dude, this is just, you know, because in the trailer, you know, obviously it shows before the kill happens. But then when you see the actual kills in the movie, it's like, yeah, this is.
Yeah, they went above and beyond, because, like, sometimes when you see, like, a trailer for a movie and you see something that like insinuates kind of like what happens.
Yeah.
It's disappointing because you saw the whole thing on the commercial.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you know, you see the girl getting ready to jump into the swimming pool and you're thinking, oh, you know, the electrocution's going to come and she's going to get electrocuted in the pool.
Yeah, burned or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. And you've seen exactly, you know, the wind up to what's coming. No.
Yeah, it's not even like that. So without spoilers, Bill and Hal find their dad's toy monkey in the closet after it dies or takes off.
He took off.
Yeah, he takes off. And pretty much this monkey is, you know, every time whoever winds it up, you know, it ends up, you know, playing a little on the drums. And the final beat of the drum, somebody dies. It chooses somebody or it's by random. But the person who winds it up doesn't die. And pretty much they have to try to keep it from killing people. So they decide to discard it. And then, of course, like 20 years later, it comes back with a vengeance, pretty much, to finish what it started, pretty much. And it's written really well. I mean, Theo James does a really good job playing the twins, because they're twin brothers, Hal and Bill. And he does a really good job playing different characters. And giving credit to Christian, was it Convery?
Yeah.
Convery? Something like that. If I butcher the name, I'm sorry. He does a good job, too, playing, you know, young Hal and Bill. But it is very gruesome. So if you're not like, you know, if you don't like gore.
Yeah, if you don't like a gory film, then yeah, you probably shouldn't be going to see this movie.
Yeah, because it's not like Long Legs where, you know, it's more suspense and kind of thriller. This one is very gory and supernatural, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's supernatural and it's slapstick. It's just, to me, it was like just hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole movie just keeps you, you know, on your toes, but it's comical.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, something that's, like, extremely serious and brooding. It's, you know, even the little monkey himself, dude. Like you want to hold him. You see him in the movie, you're like, man, I want that monkey. That's...
As most of you know, if you've read the short story, it's supposed to be a symbol, a monkey, you know, the typical classic monkey with symbols. But since, you know, Disney acquired Pixar, and they copyrighted pretty much the symbol monkey that shows up in Toy Story 3, they weren't able to use the symbol monkey, so instead they came up with the drum one, and which I think is better. Honestly, I think it was better for the cinematic purposes of it. It looked more appealing. Not only that, with the atmospheric kind of soundtrack and the score, I think it goes with it perfectly too. They did a real good job implementing the score with the beat of the drum that the monkey did in the movie. Because I think if you do it with the cymbal, it would have been, I don't know, it wouldn't have been as good. Because I think the beat, it makes it feel alive.
To me reminds me of, you know, like,
yeah, right,
you know,
yeah.
It reminds me of that, you know, like, because literally like the last tap and, you know, somebody's going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good choice. I mean, I'm glad that they weren't able to use the symbol monkey,
yeah,
because it ended up becoming pretty iconic.
Well, Osgood Perkins even said that he was happier that it was the drum, that he wasn't allowed to use the symbol.
Well, merchandising too. I mean, you have the popcorn bucket. The drum is the popcorn bucket. I don't think you would have been able to do that with the
symbol.
The symbols, yeah. So unless you put the popcorn in the symbol.
I guess you could have put like kind of like a fez or something, because you know how the little monkey toys used to wear a fez.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
You could have taken its little hat and put the little fez right there, put some popcorn in that. Not that we would know, because we live in Lubbock, Texas, and we don't have an AMC theater, folks.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So the one and only saving grace of what we actually wanted from the film, which was the popcorn bucket.
But I did get a popcorn bucket with a pressed in.
Oh, yeah, we got the embossed tin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one is still great. It's a placeholder right now until I get the real monkey.
Yeah.
Because I am going to get the real monkey.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think it's like July 29th.
Yeah, it'll be shipped out.
June 29th.
Yeah, because you can pre-order it right now and get it.
On AMC.
But yeah, check this out, and then now we'll move on to the actual movie itself and what we thought about each kill and all that. So if you don't want to hear any spoilers and you say, hey, man, I still want to check out the movie, then hey, pause it right here, watch the movie, take a date out and, you know, go see some kills and if you're y'all are both twisted like that, you know, go take your date out and watch, and then come back to us, and you'll hear what we think about this movie. But it starts off pretty darn good. It starts off with a kill. You have the father who is a
airline pilot,
and he.
He's running into the pawn shop.
To sell the monkey.
Yeah.
He got it for his boys. Of course, he's referring to Bill and Hal. And he doesn't want it anymore because they didn't want to play with it, or they didn't really take a liking to it. Which, the actual sinister, dark, you know, background is actually, it's probably killing a lot of people. And so he's trying to pawn it off. The dude's like, oh, I don't take toys. And he's like, no, don't call it a toy. It's not a toy. That's the biggest thing in this movie is you do not call this thing a toy. It is more than that. It's a vessel or something of supernatural nature.
That's going to get offended if you call it a toy.
So. Yeah. So he's like, well, it's, you know, it probably doesn't even work. I'm not going to take it, you know, And it ends up playing. You kind of see the layout of the pawn shop. You see that there's a guy with a harpoon. There's like a scuba suit with a guy with a spear gun. Yeah.
Like, who's old got school. That just like a loaded cock ready to go?
I don't know why it was. Yeah. Hey, you'd be surprised, man. There's some pawn shops that want
to
sell.
Hey, I go to the pawn shop too, man. But if like I see like a loaded 45, like with a fake mechanical hand sitting on the trigger,
yeah,
sitting on the thing, and they're like, oh, take a look. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Thank you. I'll stay on this side of the pawn shop.
So he's looking at the monkey, kind of trying to negotiate with him to try to sell it to him. And finally, the monkey goes off. It grins, and it starts...
It hits the drum.
Yep, and a rat gnaws a rope that's hold. I forgot what it was. It was holding something, and it knocks into the harpoon,
yeah,
and it goes off and kills the... Well, it impales him.
Yeah, it doesn't... See, like, I was on this one in particular, this kill in particular, I was expecting it to just pierce him, and he's just stuck to the wall.
Oh, yeah, I was expecting either that or, like, go through his head or something that kills him.
Yeah.
And no, the harpoon being a harpoon gun, it retracts and reels in
his entire intestinal tract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was great.
Yeah. And so the dad's like, well, I got to get rid of this thing. The pawn shop has a flamethrower, and I don't think the guy on the floor is going to need it anymore.
Yeah, so. No. So he like steals the flamethrower and takes it out into the parking lot, which, I mean, I guess in the UK things are a little bit different because like that part was supposed to supposedly be in the UK, I think.
Oh, yeah. Because he's an air. Yeah. He's,
yeah. So, I mean, I guess in the UK things are differently. You can just, like, take a, like...
A flamethrower out
big
there.
Big-ass flamethrower into a parking lot and just start roasting stuff.
Yeah, and he... Yeah, so he lights it up, melts the monkey, burns it, and it's gone. And so is he, because he doesn't show up again.
Yeah.
He burned off, I'm assuming. And so it's just Bill. You get introduced to Bill and Hal, the twin brothers, and, of course, their mom, Lois. And they're pretty much their... That Bill is very he's terrible to Hal, man. You know, he's older by what?
Dude,
a couple of minutes.
2 minutes.
And, oh yeah, and, 2 minutes.
And
yeah.
And then literally like the constant joke throughout the movie is you're only bigger than me because you ate all of mom's placenta. Like, and it's just like, wow, that's a cryptic way to look at things. But like it gets referenced like 6 times.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, because I ate all the placenta. And it's like, dude, yeah.
But pretty much, like, Bill is being horrible. He's an ass to
But it's typical brother trap. Like, brothers are pretty horrible,
too. I don't have any brothers, yeah. So...
See, I have a brother. And, like, me and my brother, like, although we weren't the closest when we were kids, yeah, there were some definite, like, dick move behavior there. So, yeah, I can remember, like, doing stuff to my brother. Like, Robert, if you're listening, just tune out, bro. He's probably still scarred. But, yeah, I did some stuff, man. Like... I put thumbtacks on the end of dowels and stabbed him like he was a beast. Like, brothers do stupid shit. Like, yeah. That's just, it's given. So, yeah, but it definitely, like, one thing that I will say about me and my brother, when there were, me and my brother could be the worst of enemies, but if anybody else came in to try and, like, smack on my brother.
I think that's what I hated about it.
Yeah.
Is there was no sibling defense.
No, there was none. He was just like, yep, put on that dress and go out, like, just mean all day.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, like, his brother's basically, you know, getting bullied, and he just doesn't care. He could really care less.
Yeah, and they're going through the his father's stuff, their father's stuff, and they find the box with the monkey in it, which is odd because, as we know, he burned it. Their father burned it. You know, I was gonna say it burned it alive, but I mean it is alive.
Yeah, technically.
So you know, burned it and it melted away, and now here it is in mint
pristine
condition.
in a box.
And so they're looking at it.
And it doesn't say lifelike, remember? It's like life.
Yes.
So that's the first thing that they notice on the box is that it says like life.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Like, oh, it's misspelled.
Like, no, it's...
Yeah. And, you know, they know there's a little bit something special about this monkey.
Yeah. Yeah. Hal's really intrigued by the monkey. And they try to, you know, get it to work. And they're like, oh, it's stuck. And it doesn't work. And
it's broken.
Bill's like, you can have it. And so... You know, he takes it with him everywhere. Well, they go out, you know, his mom is going out on a date because, you know, she's trying to get out there again. And even though she hates going on dates, so she goes out and the babysitter stays with them, takes him to
like a Benihana, like a hibachi grill
and steakhouse. And so they're out and the monkey is in the car. You know, because he brought it with, or he didn't bring it. The monkey appeared.
Yeah, appeared in the van, like after they had gotten out.
Yeah, and the only one to see it was Hal, because Bill was, you know, of course, Bill, older brother, he taking shotgun.
He don't care. Yeah.
So they go out with the babysitter, and you know the chef and the babysitter,
man, that was kind of creepy.
They had a connection.
I understand that they had a connection, dude, but there's kids at the table. Like, you know, like you try to like, I don't know.
He was like, oh, he made a rice
heart. Yeah, he made a rice heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, wow, what a gentleman. Or, you know, so he's cooking it up. He's showing him her skill, you know, the skills that he has with the knives and, you know, cooking up all this meat. And in the car, the monkey goes off and starts playing its little tune. And the last beat of the drum, the chef, you know, throws up his knife, the final finish, you know. And Hal looks over and...
Annie Potts.
And, the babysitter gets her head cut off. Those are some sharp knives, man. Those are really sharp knives. Because
he severed an entire spinal column and everything. Like a trachea. No problem with that.
Yeah, so he kills his beloved.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So he cuts her head off, and then you just see, like, the blood, like, start trickling down.
And her head falls off.
Yeah, her head just kind of slides.
What I like is that it falls on the grill and starts the blood and stuff like that just starts cooking. I'm like, dude, this is good. Okay, we're you know, this movie's getting good. And so they have to go to her funeral. And they're just freaked out because they just saw somebody die, their babysitter die. But they're like, the way she died is what they're like kind of amazed about. Like,
yeah. Like, well, I mean, come on. If you saw something like that, you'd be pretty taken aback.
Yeah.
You'd be like, dude, like, barely like with the slide of a little hand, like, he cut her entire head off.
Yeah, he just drew a heart for her and rice. And
then, once again, they're kids, so, like, they don't have any couth. So they go to the funeral, and then the funeral's there, and the priest, a top-notch for whoever chose that.
He's going to speak at my funeral. I'm not Catholic, but I'll take it.
This priest is just like... Hey, man, kind of like it's like a 16-year-old Tommy Chong or the guy from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah,
he'd be a hell of a lot cooler, man.
He's like, she was, you know, he's pretty much giving like a botched up, like pretty much her final rites to go to heaven.
And they're like, the boys are like questioning. They're like, I forget which one of the boys said it. I think it was it Hal or Bill, but it might have been Bill. Probably. And he's like, how'd they get her head back on? Like,
yeah.
And it's like,
I think it was Bill that said that.
I think it was Bill. And he's like, how'd they get her head back on? And it's just like, wow, something completely crass. Yeah, that's something a kid would say.
Pretty much. Yeah. Even though they saw it, like, they would traumatize them. But they weren't really traumatized. They were just more like, the hell was that about?
Yeah.
So the monkey pretty much goes everywhere. Well, they're talking about, like, you know, how she died and whatever. And how immediately he gets the sense that the monkey had something to do with it. So he's like, the middle of the night when they're sleeping, he's like talking to the monkey. And Bill wakes up, obviously hearing him talk about to the monkey, and they're bullying him about the monkey, and he's like, you know, if you want to keep the monkey, man, just say you love the monkey and you want to marry it. And
yeah, you want the monkey yours forever. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's with him all day. He goes to school with it, and
he does say anything that Bill tells him to say, Hal just pantomimes it.
Yeah.
100%. And he's just like, yeah, I love the monkey. I want to marry the monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to touch your banana.
Oh, yeah, I want to touch your banana. Oh, that was funny. That was pretty funny. But he goes to school, and he goes into the restroom, or the boys' locker room, I believe is what it was.
And he's getting harassed by
this group of females.
There's like 9 girls that are just like...
Like, hey, we heard that your dad left because of you, because you, you know, pretty much he left because of you. And he's like, no. And they pretty much, they beat the crap out of this kid, right?
Well, they beat the crap out of him the first time. Then the second time around, they're like, it's a no-pant zone or anything like
that. Oh, that's what it was. No, that's what it was. Yeah. They told him that, you know, well, since your dad's left and he doesn't wear the pants, and he's no longer the pants
of the family. Your mom wears the pants of the family.
No, your mom can't wear the pants because you're the, you know, you're the male in the house.
And two people can't wear the pants in the family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So due to the fact that mom's wearing the pants, he has to take his pants off. So he like you see him at home and he comes home like in his boxer shorts, and he like enters the house and I don't know what's up with mom. Mom's like cool as hell though, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Mom is like, I don't know.
She's cooking, doing whatever.
No, man, she's not cooking, dude. She's just like baking cakes and crap.
Oh yeah, remember? Yeah.
She's not really cooking anything. Like this woman doesn't make like real meals. Like
just sweets all day.
Yeah, just sweets. Like she's making red velvet cake.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She's and then like... earlier in the movie, they're like distressed. They like come home. And they're dealing, like, with the loss. And she's like, well, let's do what we do and let's dance.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, she's just like, yeah. She's like a teenage mom, essentially.
Yeah.
And so he comes home and she's making red velvet. And she's like, she says something like, you want dinner? And he just snaps off because he's had enough.
And then at the babysitters, when they bury her, they, you know, she's trying to talk to them, you know, trying to help them understand what just happened. And that's when she comes out the famous line of everybody dies.
Yeah.
And but she's like, and you're going to die, and your brother's going to die, and we're all going to die, and everybody's pet's going to die. And I'm like, you're not really, that's not how you talk to your kids about death. But who knows, you know, different strokes
for
different
folks. Probably dead wherever he's at.
Your dad's probably dead, yeah. But yeah, she's just kind of chilling in the kitchen, whatever. And another day at school, you know, he has the monkey in his bag, and so he opens it to look at it. I don't know if it appeared in his bag, and that's why he was concerned. But this other little girl, like, calls him out, and they find out, you know, he has the monkey. So he's in the gym, like, in the next scene, like, talking to, you know, to his friends or whatever. They come in with a bunch of bananas, and they just...
Cover him with banana.
Yeah. And he goes home, and obviously he's upset because of his brother... Oh, because his brother told them that he likes, you know, the monkey's banana. Or
yeah, he wants to touch the monkey's banana.
Yeah, so they banana him up. And so he comes home, he's pissed. And so finally he's like, he tells the monkey, he goes, look, I know you. This is what you killed that girl. Like, I feel it. Like, you're the one who killed her. Like, and so he's like, I want you to kill my brother. Like, and so he winds it up and... When he winds it up, his brother comes home, and he's trying to talk to his mom, and she's like...
Because she's out in the kitchen making cake.
Yeah, and she's spazzing out, and when she turns around, her eyes are bleeding. She's bleeding from her nose, and she collapses and hits her head on the counter, and she passes away. And Hal immediately realizes that the monkey just chose his mom rather than... You know, the brother that he wanted to go. And unfortunately, you know, she passes away. Same guy doing the, you know, funeral, same.
Absolutely.
Same priest. And of course, Bill is kind of scarred because that's his mom. He saw her die and is, you know, very upset. There's like that's like probably like the deepest moment is when he's trying to tell his mom to wake up from the casket. And I think that's like the only like pretty deep moment that you get from. The brothers is when he's trying to wake up his mom from the casket. But they have to go stay with his aunt, their aunt Ida, and Uncle Chip, who is played by Oscar Perkins, who looks like Hank Hill with like deep sideburns, these thick, I mean, luscious sideburns.
And he's a swinger.
And he's a swinger.
He wants you to know that when he comes in. You know.
Yeah, he's talking to Hal.
Yeah, he's taking the kids. They're taking them because obviously, like, the house is too big. There's too much stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aunt and Uncle Chip, they have a place to stay.
Yeah.
It's further out in Maine. So they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're going to go stay out there.
Yeah.
You know, grab just what you can.
And you're going to live with us now. You know, we never had kids because we're
swingers. Yeah,
because
we're swingers and that just isn't our style. And
yeah, so they stay with their. Excuse me. They stay with their Aunt Ida and Uncle Chip, and they're talking upstairs. And, of course, you know, they're not parents, so they're kind of weird with them. But they're talking about, you know, if Mom had turned the key and that made, you know, the monkey choose her and kill her. Which Bill doesn't know that Hal is the one who turned the key. And so, like, well, you know, we got to test this theory. Like, if this thing's killing people, you know, maybe it doesn't kill the person that turns the key. Maybe it just, you know, chooses a random number.
Chooses a random
person. They're like, and Bill's like, well, let me turn the key and I'll, you know, we'll find out if it really does happen. Turns the key. Next scene, he's dead. Chip's dead. Uncle Chip has passed away. He was trampled by 47 horses. Something
47,
like that?
Yeah, horses.
Well, he was hunting.
He was hunting, and he's trampled by like 47 horses.
Yeah,
yeah. Now that kill you don't see, but that
you do see it because they talk about it, and he's like, they show the cutscene of where he was sleeping in a sleeping bag.
Yeah, and there's like horses trampling. Yeah,
and then when the coroner opens the sleeping bag, it's just hamburger meat, pretty much.
Yeah,
there's nothing left of him, and he's gone. Which is, I'm like, dude, these are really creative kills. Because they're so out, and it shows, like, the monkey is just making these outlandish kills to show that it's not a natural event.
It's not coincidence. Yeah.
And so Uncle Chip has passed away, and he is no longer with us, RIP.
No funeral for him, though. No funeral. You don't get
You don't get
the stoner priest for, you know,
for Uncle Chip. Unfortunately, no, you don't get it. You know, you don't get the great sermon.
Well, he was away, though, you know. I mean, they had gone to another city, so
yeah, true.
They would have had to have imported him and had him come over.
Like, just throw him in a freaking Ziploc bag and just
just take him on over.
he's mush now, so.
So now they've realized basically, hey, it's been confirmed. Like, this monkey is evil. This monkey's doing, and you know, probably the most unified thing these two do in the whole entire movie is that they decide, like, hey, this monkey's got
to
go.
Yeah, so they take it to a well in the back of the property.
And they don't really explain that. Like, it is in the story, it is in the book, that basically there was the well on, you know, Uncle Chip's property. But in the movie, it's just kind of like, you just got here. How do you know there's, like, a well out in the South
40?
Yeah,
true, yeah.
Like, they didn't really, like, explain that really well, but it doesn't really matter because
this
movie doesn't, you know, if you're looking for some kind of, like, you know, life-determining event, it's not going to happen with this movie. It's just good fun.
Yeah.
So they go to the well, and they take the monkey, and they toss him in. You just, you know, you see the monkey, like, fall into the abyss.
Yeah. And we cut, what, 20 years later?
Yep.
Damn near, like, 20, 25 years later. And, you know, Hal's working at a grocery store. And, you know, he's... you find out he has a kid that he doesn't really see. He sees him, what, once a year. And he does that because he doesn't want... He's in fear of the monkey coming back and, you know, pretty much taking his son. You know, he doesn't want that to happen, so he keeps him pretty much at a distance, you know. Still loves him, but he doesn't want to risk, you know, their lives being taken, his ex-wife or, you know, his son and the new dad.
Elijah Wood.
So he gets off of work early. You get introduced to his stoner man, or no, vaping manager. Who was like, oh man, that sucks.
you just got a kid, man.
That sucks, yeah. And so, yeah, you get introduced to his kid, Petey, his ex-wife, and his ex-wife's very, you know, like father of the year.
He is the author. He is a Dr. Phil of fathers.
Yeah.
Elijah
Wood.
He
has like 20 books.
Yeah, he is like, and he like, he holds Hal and he's like, I took your dad energy.
Oh yeah, he's like meditating with him, trying to
like absorb his dad energy. He calls it dad energy. I'm yeah. like, dude,
it's just
yeah,
yeah. Elijah Wood, it's a great part.
It's a great character. Yeah, it's just hilarious because you're just like, seriously.
So yeah, he's like this father guru, and even though he doesn't have a kid of his own, he just has Petey, which he probably raised or you know helped raise, obviously, because you know if Hal wasn't there,
yeah,
then, you know. So he's going over for you know Petey's birthday, and Elijah Wood's character is talking about adopting Petey, and he can just give up his rights as a father, and since he's not there anyways, you know.
And he gave up his dad energy. He allowed him to take his dad energy. Allowed him to take his
dad energy, man. Yeah,
so.
So they're like, well, you can either just give up your rights and just ease the pain and let him adopt your kid, or you can enjoy these last moments that you have with them and, you know, spend some time with them. So like, okay. And they go stay at a motel.
Fleabag hotel.
I don't know why, but I don't even know where Hal lives. Does he just live in a hotel, in a motel?
Probably.
Because he doesn't have a house.
No, he probably just, yeah, that's probably exactly what he does. He probably just, you know, much like you find Bill.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they live in, you know, they yeah. live in squalor.
Yeah. But we do cut back to Aunt Ida, who's been living by herself, obviously, ever since
Uncle in the house, Chip died. Yeah. Uncle Chip died.
Yeah. His glasses and hat are now placed on one of the stuffed bears that they have.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
his many hunting expeditions before the tragic. before the.
Horse pee. Horse tornado.
But she hears something, you know, playing, and it's the song of the monkey. She doesn't know that, but she hears something in the house. So she grabs her giant 44 Magnum. That's what it looks like. And to go and, you know, see what is up. Like, who came to find out what Aunt Ida is about.
Absolutely.
So she goes to the basement because that's where it's coming from. Doesn't find anything. And so when she goes back up the stairs and she falls through into the boxes of fish hooks that Uncle Chip kept.
Yeah. Just random open-air boxes of fish hooks. Yeah. Like everybody does.
So she doesn't die. That's not her death. So she has to go and pick them out, and she gets rubbing alcohol, and she's...
But if you look at this moment, just to give you a little teaser, if you look right as she falls into the fish hooks, if you look behind her in the corner of the basement, there's the monkey. The monkey's even... behind her on the stairwell.
Oh, dude, there's I didn't little, even notice.
There's little hidden monkeys, kind of like a throw to Long Legs.
Kind of like Long Legs, yeah, where the yeah. devil's kind of hiding in the corner.
Yeah, you look and you just see this little dark outline silhouette of the monkey as she falls into the bin of freaking fish hooks. Yep.
Oh, dude, wow. I didn't even notice that when I watched yeah. it. I just was so yeah, fascinated about it.
Yeah, because she's like landing the fish hooks. But she goes upstairs, essentially, and she's, like, nursing her wounds.
Yeah.
She's pulling out the damn fish hooks, and it's done very well.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, pulling. You can tell, like, those little barbed ends are getting some flesh.
Yeah. And so they're in her face and everything. So she's pulling them out, getting rubbing alcohol, and she's, you know, tending to her wounds. But she hears, like, a hissing pretty much behind her because the stove has turned on. And, of course, they live in an older house, so they have a gas stove. They don't have these cool electric ones like we do now. And so she's like, is that the stove? Leans her alcohol face down, and it lights up, and that's... Oh, I had to burst into flames.
Her head's on fire. And
with
she
her curls
just,
in, her yeah, curlers in.
She has, like, the big soup can curlers, and she just literally, like, beelines out the door, down the stairs, and she's selling the house. So there's a realtor sign in the front yard.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, the realtor sign, and it's got, like, a stake that's coming out. And her head runs right onto the flipping yeah. stake.
Well, what was on the porch? There was, like, a flower pot or something on the porch. That's oh, where she gets her...
it's an old milk jug.
Oh, from, like, that's the barn, what it was. Like an
old,
okay.
Yeah, like an old milk decanter from the dairy farm.
Oh, okay.
And her leg goes in it, so now she's, like, a freaking peg leg. Like a damn pirate.
Yeah.
And she hobbles down with her one leg and just...
Right into the realtor sign. Yeah. So the price probably went down for that house.
Dude, you probably could have, man, in that area, you probably could have picked that house up for like $17.13.
So she's, yeah, she's gone, and they're doing it, you know, now that she's passed away, now they're doing an estate sale for her, you know, getting rid of her stuff. unfortunately, the monkey, because it was in the house, even though it was thrown in the well, is now up for sale. And this skater dude, who's very heavy metal, or punk rock,
he's
heavy
very
metal,
something.
He goes and he takes the monkey. He was very intrigued by it, and he takes it home. And he tells his mother that he bought it because it reminds him
of his dad.
The mom's line is the best. She's like smoking a cigarette. She's like, why? Is it because of the shit-eating grin, or is it because of the hairy arms and back? And I'm like... But for some reason, the dude, it reminded him of his father, and that's why he wanted it.
But it's funny, too, when you look at the comparisons between the families. So he has a brother.
Yeah.
Who's like basically like I don't know, like an army mute. I don't know what that guy is.
He's not a vet.
He doesn't say anything. He only says, what caliber? That's his only line through the whole movie.
Yeah.
So literally, like, yeah, he brings it home, and it's him and his brother living alone with their mom, and their dad, was a cop, uniform, had just mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
And mom is just, I mean, she's hot under the collar. He left with a whore and all, yeah. And there's no proof of that.
Later on, it's just so funny, the story that he says about his dad. But so that day, and they're staying in the motel, and Hal has a dream about, you know, the monkey again. About his fantasy, because, you know, when he was younger, he fantasized about killing his brother because of how horrible his brother was to him. And he, you know, there was like one dream, I guess you could say, where he's standing over his brother with a bowling ball and drops it on his head, yeah. You know, and kills him. So he imagines the monkey pretty much with, you know, him laying there. And, oh yeah, and he also, to destroy the monkey, he tries to cut it up too when he was younger. He tries to
chop it up.
And of course it comes back.
Completely solidified.
Yeah. So he has a dream to where he's being cut up by the monkey, which was a kind of great scene. It was like the monkey in a suit and cutting him up. Yeah. But he wakes up and he gets a call from his brother who he hasn't spoken to in like 5 years. You know, they haven't even seen each other in like the past 10 years. And then they just stop talking. And Bill is letting Hal know that the monkey might be back because of, on Ida. Ida passed away, and he has to go up there and look through her stuff.
Yeah, and see if it's there.
If the monkey is there,
yeah.
Because they don't know if it was the monkey or not, even though we, you know, obviously see it. But he was like, dude, if this is the monkey, we need to get on it and get this thing.
Yeah, one of us needs to have possession of the monkey. Because basically the monkey kind of follows their bloodline.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and for some odd reason, Bill knows about his nephew.
Yeah. Now,
he knows about Petey, and it appears like he knows more about Petey, you know, and I might just be the only person who noticed this. I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but the kid who plays Petey looks a lot like the monkey.
Like, seriously. That's because of his hair.
It's his hair. It's his teeth. He's kind of got like the same deal. I don't know, man. Maybe I was just monkified. Like, I was obsessed with that freaking monkey.
But. So he's like, he's talking outside the motel next to the pool, and this is the scene that you see in the trailers. And it's hot in his room.
It's hot as hell, so he turned on the AC.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a flea-bitten hotel. It's a rat trap. So he's like, oh, man. So you just hear, bah, 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 bah. Sounds like, you know, like a bunch of marbles rolling around in a glass jar. He's like, oh, shit. But of course, he's taking this phone call, which is,
so he steps
important.
Outside not to wake his
steps
boy.
Steps outside, and then you see... The air conditioning unit basically comes unbracketed from above the room.
Yeah, so he hangs up with Bill because they kind of get into it. Hangs up with Bill, and the AC unit falls.
But wait, there's a girl in the red bikini.
Yeah.
And he's like jocking it. He's like, oh, man. Look.
Yeah, he's eyeing her,
He kind of stops because he's like, man, I'm going to check this chick out.
Yeah, and there's a hose running into the pool. For
like,
some, it's on the ground, but it's like the water's like leaking into
like
the
pool.
Like
you do at a cheap ass hotel.
Yeah, pretty much. Fill it up with hose water. Don't even regulate the freaking pH balance and all that stuff. You just,
who needs chlorine?
Stagnant still water. So yeah, she's getting ready to dive into this pool, which I don't know how you're diving into it. It's like 5 feet deep.
Right. Dude, she's kind of tiny though, bro. She's not, you know.
True. So the AC unit falls, and, you know, the electricity goes through the water on the ground into the pool. And Hal sees this. And right when she's about to dive, he's trying to stop her from diving.
It's like, no, no.
And she explodes as soon as she hits the water.
Yeah.
Legs and body parts just go
electrocution out the door. I guess this chick
That's what I thought. I thought she was going to burn up.
Yeah, I thought she was going to get like toasted, you know, maybe look like the girl from The Craft whose hair fell out or something. But no. Yeah. No.
Mm-mm. She big explodes.
Old, she explodes in a whole leg, like from the hip out, just flies and hits Hal.
Yeah.
As he's standing there by like the Coke machine.
Yeah, so he panics and he's like, okay, we got to go because now it's confirmed this is
the monkey. Yeah, this is the monkey. That's his MO, man. Yeah. He's got some weird stuff going on.
So he takes his son, who's working on his family tree because he wants to know. But, you know, Hal's very secretive because he doesn't want to talk about his brother and his dad and all that. But on the car ride over there, they get to on Ida's house and they explain that, you know, he has a brother. And
well, he doesn't explain that. The realtor.
Oh, the realtor, yeah.
The realtor essentially is talking to Hal and continues to profusely drop. Now, no, Petey has no idea about Bill.
Yeah.
Hal is completely denied that he has a brother.
Yeah.
So the realtor comes up and she's like, yeah, your brother, Bill. And then, like, finally, like, the kid snaps out. Like, Petey's just like, dude, I'm going to get at this. So Petey's like, no, this ass won't even, like, tell me. And in fact, 2 days ago, he told me he didn't have a brother.
Yeah, but it's okay because I'm going to get adopted by somebody
else.
Yeah,
I'm getting adopted by, you know, Elijah Wood because he stole his father power or whatever. Yeah.
So he goes in there to check everything and, you know, take what he needs to take, whatever.
And the realtor's mad thirsty. She is not paying attention to anything except for Hal.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good-looking dude. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, she's, like, swooning over this man. And so he's like, well, is there anything else? Was there, you know, a box or anything like that? Or they go up to the upstairs to check one of the closets. And he's like, was there, like, a toy monkey here? And she's like, oh, was it, like, a childhood, you know,
toy memory or something. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, it's just, you know, just wanted to see if it was still here. And he could feel like something was up with the door because she couldn't unlock it. And so she's like trying all these keys. And finally she gets one. And she's like flirting with him and trying to open this door.
Not paying attention.
Yeah. And when she opens the door, because she's so intrigued by, you know, how beautiful Hal is.
Hal's sexiness.
Yeah. She doesn't notice the loaded shotgun that's in the closet, and it falls over and blows her head off.
Yeah.
All over
Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like her finger. I guess her finger, because her finger was up.
Yeah, the tip of her finger. Like, he literally, like, he's just freaked out, and then, like, he feels something in his mouth. And he reaches in, and it's, like, the tip of her index finger.
Yeah. So the cops have to show up, and he's talking about, you know, it was just loaded, and it came down, and...
Yeah, and then the cop is like, yeah, and, you know, we're going to need you to stay in town, and blah, blah, like they do.
Oh, and also the realtor, I forgot about this, the realtor was talking about how there was mysterious deaths going on around the town. So people were dying left and right, so it was like, you know, yeah, it was your Aunt Ida, then it was this person, then this person, then this person, and now... You know, the realtor. So it's kind of weird how all these deaths are happening. And then so finally he's like, well, you know, can I leave or whatever? She's like, I suggest you stay near because, you know, obviously you were the only one in the room.
Yeah.
when the shotgun went off, even though it wasn't him, but still, you know.
But still, the comedic part of the whole thing is like nobody is like, even Petey. These aren't things that you see every day.
Yeah, like, and they're just like, hey.
Oh, dude, at your house, you know, a realtor got her head blown off with a shotgun. Ah, man, things happen.
Well, she's like, well, I suggest you stay in a hotel, whatever. And then the cop says something, too. I forgot what she says. That's, like, kind of weird. And so he's like, okay, well, I'll stay in a hotel. And so he goes back to the hotel, and it's like, it's like no one's paying attention. Like, dude, someone just got their head blown off.
Yeah.
All these people are
dying. They're all unaffected by, like, the murders, like, the cops. Like, everybody's deadpan. Nobody has, like, any emotions towards the situation. The realtor's talking about, like, half the city getting snuffed. And she's just like, oh, yeah, you know, more realty for me. It's like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Like, in the real world, you know. But that's the effect the monkey has on you.
The monkey just has those powers, man. Like, no one cares about death.
He does. He's a numbing agent.
Pretty much. So, yeah, he's trying to figure out, like, why, you know, where the monkey's at. And it was sold, unfortunately. And he thinks that it was sold, which it was, at the estate sale. So he calls Bill, and Bill's like, well, you need to, you know, figure it out, dude. Like, we need to get this monkey. Even though Bill's not doing anything to help out, we find out later why, but he's just like, dude, you need to get this monkey or whatever. And so, of course, his son is pissed off because, you know, he's been lying to him this whole time, and he's going to get adopted by some guy who wears bike shorts all the time. And it's taking dad energy and all that, so he's mad. But I forgot what happens next.
Remember, he's looking through the phone book, because remember, he tries to call back.
Oh, yeah, he tries to call him back.
Because... And rather than Bill picking up the phone, it goes, like, directly to an answering machine.
Yeah.
And it's like some weird alias.
Oh, Mrs. Monkey.
Yeah, Mrs. Monkey. And so then he goes through and he, like, looks through the phone book.
Well, that's when he finds out that...
And finds the address of Mrs. Monkey.
Yeah, and the dude who got the monkey takes it to Bill. And because, you know, he was tasked with finding the monkey.
Yeah,
and...
he's trying to, you know, Bill gave him $15 to find the monkey for him.
Yeah.
And he's trying to give the $15 back so he can keep the monkey, because the monkey reminds him of his dad.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I paid you to get the monkey, not to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And so he's pissed off. He's like, no, I want this monkey because it reminds me of my dad. So he goes home, grabs his dad's uniform and...
Yeah. His police, you know, uniform. Ask his brother's only line, you know, got any ammo? What caliber?
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, so now he's armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
And this and that.
And he knows that, you know, Hal is his brother.
Yeah.
And so he's going to go in.
They're twins. They're going to, you know, he's going to take care of business.
So he goes and finds, because Hal now knows that Bill has the monkey. And so he's going to go see. He takes them. He breaks into their motel room. Well, you know, he's like, police, whatever, open up.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like, opens up, and then he's like taking them hostage. You know, we're gonna go to your brother's place, and we're gonna get the monkey back. So they go to this pretty much like this big old building.
Yeah, it's like an industrial. Like a, I don't know how with no money this guy affords. Like,
he has like a bunch of these TVs. And they're
full going, security system, like, yeah, totally set
booby
up.
Booby traps and everything. Yeah. And
booby traps. Not the Fratellis.
And so he has it, like, on this pyramid of TVs, and he has the monkey up there.
Yeah, which is funny because, like, it mimics Venus on the Half Shell.
Oh, yeah.
The painting Venus on the Half Shell, because he's got this giant illuminated clamshell.
Yeah.
And the beautiful little monkeys right there in the middle of it.
But he has the key around his neck.
Yeah.
And what he's been doing is he's been trying to tell the monkey to kill his brother, because Bill found out that Hal was the one who twisted the key when his mom died. And the monkey killed their mom. And so he's trying to kill his brother because of that day. And literally, like, this whole time he's been doing, like, from the day that they grew apart and Bill finding out that he killed, you know, technically he didn't kill the mom, the monkey did, but he did turn the key.
Yeah, he did. I mean, dude, he had that vengeance in his heart.
Yeah.
So he did, you know, he did kind of put that play in motion.
Yeah.
So Bill went up to the well.
Yeah.
And Bill climbed down in the well and... He found the key in the monkey.
No, he found the key. He didn't find the monkey.
Yeah, he didn't find the monkey. And so that's when he realized the true nature of
because,
the monkey.
And so he got his old suit from when his mom died, even though, you know, he was already grown out of it. But he got a suit and he pretty much stitched like his other clothes into it.
Yeah, he had a shirt with like flames on it and he made a cummerbund out of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So tacky, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So he's like kind of overstretched, you know.
Yeah.
He's outgrown this suit. But he didn't want to take it off because when his mom passed away, he didn't want to take it off because...
Somebody else was going to die.
Yeah, somebody else was going to die. So why take it off? And so he kept it on this whole time. Gross. So, what do you call it? The monkey guy, the one who wants the monkey so bad, he's like, you know, he's holding the dad hostage and tells Petey to go inside. But Bill wants Petey to turn the key because he thinks that if Petey turns the key, you know, it'll kill you know, Bill finally. So he sends Petey inside. He goes, you're going to go in and get the monkey.
Yeah, because the only way in is a doggy door.
Yeah.
So.
So he goes into the doggy door, misses one of the booby traps that was an axe going through, Indiana Jones style, and you know, gets through the samurai swords that are hanging above the stairwell.
Yeah, three
stairwell.
Precariously perched samurai swords, which I didn't really get, because the samurai sword, like, it's not like guaranteed to fall perfectly straight. It's not weighted or something like you throw like a javelin.
Yeah. And so he finally confronts his uncle, you know, Bill. And Bill's like, oh, well, I have this monkey and I think it's broken. Can you fix it? And so he grabs it and he, Petey, even though his dad told him not to, he turns the key because he doesn't believe it. Like, he doesn't believe that this monkey has this power. So he turns the key and back at the car, the gun goes off in the dude's hand.
Yeah, Hal and the guy, well, Hal literally looks back and says, you're not a cop, are you?
No,
like, Sherlock. Seriously. So then they're looking, and for some odd reason, it's the middle of the night. It's supposedly cold. It's in Maine. There's a giant hive of hornets.
Yeah.
And it's like dangling off of this branch, this little tiny branch. And so it's dangling. So Officer Bird is looking out, and he's like, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, and he gets grossed out by
it. He's like, ew. Because the hornets are, like, coming out and kind of smiling and waving and stuff. And so they're like, oh, man. And so Hal's like, oh, man. Because Hal knows where this is going from now. You see some weird stuff like, that's monkey, like, that's 101.
He's like, hey, you want me to back the car up? He's like, no. It's like, just stay where you're at. Don't move. I got the gun in your head. Like, no. Well, after Petey inside, he turns the key and it starts playing the drum. Gun goes off in the dude's hand, and it shoots the hornet's nest.
Yeah, it shoots a hole in the windshield.
And it pierces the windshield, and then it hits
and punctures the hornet's nest.
Yeah, and then that hornet's nest kind of droops farther and farther down, and now it's in the line of sight on the branch. And finally, the very last drum beat that the monkey gives, the hornets flood out of the hornet's nest into that little bullet hole into the guy's mouth. Which was a good kill scene, too.
It was.
And it floods his, like, stomach, his chest, everything.
Yeah, you can see, like, everything moving. Like, his throat, his esophagus, everything is, like, all the hornets go in.
Yeah.
And they leave Hal perfectly alone.
Yeah.
Like, there's maybe one or two hanging out with Hal, like, what's up, Hal? How's it going, bro? Yeah. But, like, everybody else is, like, in the back seat with Officer Bird.
Yeah, because it shows that he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't the one.
Yeah. And so, they eat out of his face, making little holes and stuff. Oh, dude, that was, like, it was off-putting because of the little holes in his face from the hornets.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, well, now he needs to go in. So Hal goes in to confront his brother. And finally, that's when kind of Bill reveals what his plan was the whole time, try to get the monkey to kill the brother. He was even trying to force the monkey to do the last
beat. Like the monkey's going to listen. Like the monkey's going to listen to what you have to say.
So he's like trying to do the last drum beat and trying to force the monkey. But the monkey like, no. He's like, we're not going to do that. And so it flings out of his hand, sits upright, and just starts. I mean, it is doing like a whole snare solo pretty much. And the monkey just starts going off.
It was like Tommy Lee on the Theater of Pain tour when they had the little spinning drum set. And it's just going through. And in this town, like one of the big draws, you know, like when you go to the hotel, they give you like a little pamphlet.
Yeah, there was like an amusement park.
There's an amusement park.
And skydiving.
Yeah, then they do skydiving weddings.
Yeah, you can do a skydiving wedding. And so people start dropping like flies in this town. So Bill looks out the window. And people are just, there's buildings on fire, a plane crashes.
Yeah.
I mean, people are dying left and right because of how many times this thing is just hitting
the bride tunnel. Flies through the roof and she's like clutching.
It was like, it was like the skydiver breaks through the roof, the husband, and then the bride.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's, dude, this thing is just killing everybody in this town. And so finally, you know, it stops. And its hand is up in the up position. So it has one more person to kill. And so Bill is talking about, you know, how much he hated, you know, Hal for killing his mom, even though it's both of their moms. But he's talking to it like it was just his mom.
Oh, yeah. Remember, he ate the most placenta.
So, yeah, he's pretty much, that's his mom, and he's pretty connected to Lois. But they're trying to make amends, and he's like, look, dude, it's not my fault, you know. It's this monkey. Like, that's why we're going through all this crap. They're pretty much making amends now and getting closer. And so, you know, they're finally going to hug it out, even though... So he goes in for a
handshake. And yeah. The whole movie, Bill does this like slick fart thing
yeah.
where he goes to reach like he's going to give you a handshake. And then he goes through and he combs his hair back.
Yeah, when he's a kid.
Yeah.
And then 25, 30 years later.
But he can't resist doing it. That's the sad part about it. Because like they go in, they're going to go in. He's going to help him up.
Yeah.
So that they can kind of like embrace, have this bro hug.
Yeah.
And he, like, pulls back and he slicks back his hair. And he's like, ha. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Kind of like, that's a dick move. I'm sorry. So then they go to do it again. Boom. Same reaction. Like, it's so ingrained that yeah. he's such a D-bag.
Yeah.
That, like,
he's even got... in a moment where there's, like, tragedy all around him.
Yeah.
You know, he can't, you know.
Yeah, he's not going to let that one yeah. go.
Finally, they get up, they make amends, and they're pretty much brothers again. Like, they're connected again. And they're talking about going on, you know, to the amusement park, doing this trip or whatever. They're doing like a guy's trip, you know, him and his son. And Bill's like, well, I wish I could, you know, do one of those. He's like, dude, come with us. Like,
yeah,
we're making amends. We got to keep this monkey, you know, locked down anyways.
Yeah, we're in charge of defending everyone against the monkey now.
Yeah.
So.
But of course, the monkey had one more person to kill. So he slams his drumstick down for the last time in the movie. And
one of the booby traps was a cannon.
Yes.
And
the ammo was.
Yeah, Hal, upon entering the house, had tripped this booby trap, but you never saw the result of it.
Yeah.
Like you just see a bowling ball go down like a railing system and it just drops into this container.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, you don't, you know, you see other things and people flying out of the air and dying. Kind of put it out of the back of your mind.
Yeah. Back so you there. Forget about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're sitting there having this, like, you know, family reunion moment, and boom, monkey hits the last tap, and poof, a cannon goes off. Apparently, yeah. somehow he'd found an old cannon.
The samurai swords in the stairwell yep. drop, cut the rope that's holding the ball. It drops into the cannon and yeah. ends up crushing Hal's face, which is how, or crushing Bill's face, or head, and that's ends up being the way that Hal imagined when he was younger how he wanted to kill his brother with the bowling ball of his mom, and it ended up killing him some odd years later. And it's like, dude, this movie is so screwed up.
Yep.
And I think that's what it was. It's like the monkey was so sinister, it was waiting for these brothers to make amends.
Yeah.
And then finally, once they do, he kills them the way, or it kills them the way that his brother wanted to kill him,
but when it shows that connection.
Yeah,
it shows like how, you know, how they were like married.
Yeah,
like how Bill gave the monkey away. Like Bill never gave Hal anything.
Yeah,
like his kids, you could tell that's not the kind of kid that Bill was. Even if he didn't play with something, he wasn't gonna give it to Hal.
Yeah,
so Hal ended up with the monkey. Like Hal ended up like that was his wife. That was his monkey bride.
Yeah.
Nothing else in life was complete until
he wanted the banana.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to touch the monkey's banana. So, like, that's, you know, I think that was the main point of the entire movie, was that, you know, Hal and the monkey were meant to be together.
Yeah, and it's passed down now because now he has a son.
Yeah.
And now the son has to keep the
monkey. That's right. Petey's going to get the monkey now. So. Yeah,
what an inheritance.
Hey. Shit.
And so at the end of the movie, you get, they're at a stoplight and they're talking about what to do next. And of course, now Bill's like, you know what? I can't run. Or Hal's like, I can't run from this thing. I'm going to be in my kid's life. Because now he knows. It's like, you know, like you just said, they're married. It's in their bloodline now. He knows that it's not going to kill Petey.
Yeah.
And so he's like, dude, we just got to keep it safe now. I can't run from it. And so now he gets to be in his boy's life now. In this weird kind of death bond that they have now. Speaking of death, they're at the stoplight, and a rider on a pale horse goes by. I'm assuming it's played by Stephen King, or it's somebody old. It looks like him, but I don't know. This is a guess for me.
I thought it was, but it could have been. Could
just
not
some old
have been.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's death, pretty much.
Yeah.
And there's so much death in that town.
Yeah, because like they're sitting there and there's like stuff on. I don't know why he stopped at the stoplight, because like literally like there's fires everywhere. There's like burning like churches. There's cars on the side of the road. With, like,
there's a lady pushing a baby and the baby's on fire.
Yeah, she's like running down the street screaming, like with a burning stroller, and she's like pushing. Dude, your kid's already gone. Like, just put the stroller away.
Yeah, but I mean, people are just dying left and right.
Yeah.
And death is there just wandering through town. It's like, whoa, hell, man, this is where the most action's at, so I might as well just stay here. And they see him. They see death just kind of...
Yeah, he like slow meanders across the street. Just, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. There goes death.
Yeah, and so their light turns green. And I'm thinking, oh, dude, they're going to get hit or something. No, and they just keep going forward. I'm like, oh, okay.
You had that Final Destination mentality.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You're going to get wiped out.
Yeah. But then the bus of... For some reason, this town has like a cheer group that... And Aunt Ida's death, when she died, they were cheering outside of her house when the coroners brought her out.
The sick people.
The sick people, right? So at the end, the bus goes by, and they're all cheering outside of the windows and all that, and a semi goes by and just decapitates
every single cheerleader. Just decapitated. Just blood all down the side of the magic school bus.
And I'm like, that is the perfect ending. Like, because you don't expect it. You just see I'm like, dude, this is it. And that's it. That's the end of the movie. It's ended on a perfect,
absolutely,
death scene. And that's the monkey. And that is a really good movie. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's slapstick. It's gory. It is gruesome. But it's just...
It had everything. It was like the cornucopia of freaking horror movies. So you had the comedy. You had like the demonic influence. You had, you know, the slasher. You had everything. It was like perfect. It's everything like all just wrapped up the way that it should be.
Yeah.
Like they're really truthfully, I mean, could it have been less, you know, slapsticky, less comedic? Of course. But it wouldn't have come across the same.
No, it would not have. It wouldn't have.
And I mean, you're hitting a broader market by going through and making it so that someone who wants to go see a comedy, even if you're just, you know, not into slasher films, you go see it, you can still get a hell of a laugh out of it. I mean, the freaking Benihana hibachi scene.
Dude, that was wild, yeah.
Dude, it's like rom-com right there. Like, what you doing? Oh, I'm making little rice heart. You know? Like, dude.
Like, yeah, look at this rice heart I made. She's so beautiful. Oh, I cut your head off. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And plus, it's like kids with sibling rivalry, and it's got like, it had everything.
Yeah.
It was like the perfect little nugget. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good movie. So I do recommend y'all check it out. It's really, and dude, even marketing, showing the monkey and like just having these promotions. Hey, show the monkey at your local church.
Yeah, like, yeah, they literally like ran that promotion.
Was it in L.A. that they did the church?
Yeah,
screening.
Yeah, they did a monkey church, and they had like the little school bus and everything.
Like, and since like Uncle Chip was Osgood Perkins, he did a funeral for Uncle Chip at this church. Which was a beautiful church too. It was like really, the architecture was amazing, but they did it in this church. They did a screening. Everybody was dressed up either in, of course, like the monkey. He was selling like monkey merch, autographing like posters, and I'm like, dude, this is great. Like you can just screen it at a church, and they had a casket there, and they just marketing was amazing, over the top. Done really good. And we forget, you know, it was also co-directed by James Wan.
Yeah.
Who did the Saw movies. And I was talking to my girl about this. She goes, oh, why does it feel so good? I was like, well, you got to remember, it's also co-directed by James Wan. I was like, so you're getting those kills. Those kills are from, like, you know, the Saw franchise. Like, you're getting those.
They're very well thought out. They're methodical, like, killings. They're not just, like, random things. Like, you know. Like I said, the original part when, you know, the guy at the pawn shop gets killed.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the arrows, you know, the harpoon's going to go through him, stick him to the wall. There's going to be like blood splatter and that's going to... No. Why the hell would you have it retract? But hey, that was probably James Wan right there. It just retracts and pulls out all of his lower intestine and just goes back across.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is, like, he's probably thinking, oh, the audience is going to think, oh, he's not dead. He's just impaled. You know, he's just impaled. Anybody can survive that. So he had to take it a step further and, like, well, it's going to drag his organs out and kill him. So it's like, yeah, it's a very well-done movie, of course. You could see, like, the secrets of the Saw in it, like, just the kill scenes and stuff like that. You see his pretty much his stamp of how he does stuff. But Yeah, it's really good, man. I was left a 10 out of 10 for me. I was,
yeah,
I loved it.
It was great. I mean, it just the way, like I said, they put everything together. It all just came together great. Marketing, I think, won me over 100 times more than the movie itself. Oh,
yeah,
sad to say. Dude, I've always been into monkeys ever since I was a little kid. I'm like obsessed with monkeys. So I'm like, dude, this thing is amazing. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a terrifying toy. Don't call it a toy. It was a terrifying object. But it was an object you wanted, which is weird because, like, you want to be friends with the little monkey. He's little and he's furry. Like, you look at him, he looks soft. He looks, like, cool. He looks
He's very well put together, too.
Yeah, you feel like you'd want to hang out with him, you know? He's got, like, the two little, like, canine fangs. It was, like, done really well.
Yeah.
It made me want to be friends with the little monkey. Even though he's killing people, I was like, dude, like, we could hang out. We could do Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like I said, I liked everything about it. The only thing I wish is, obviously, that we had an AMC. That would have, like, you know.
Yeah, dude, I would have been, I mean, I would have been broke right now.
Yeah.
I would have bought the monkey popcorn bucket and all that. I still have it. Like I said, I do have the tin one, but it would have been so cool to have the actual monkey with the drum as the popcorn bucket. I mean, good stuff, man. But yeah, that was The Monkey. I do highly recommend it. Go check it out, man. It was really good. It's a shorter movie, but I think that's what we need now. Like, I don't want no 2 hours of.
Yeah.
Drawn out, because I think if it was longer, it would have been just kind of boring. You know, you would have to fill in kills, and I think those kills would have kind of dulled the movie more, because you're like, okay, someone got killed. Whereas these are very methodical and thought out, you know, when they did them, so.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Short, sweet, it just, you know.
And to the point, it hit the spot. Yeah.
I think it was like 95 minutes, 98 minutes, something like that. Just, you know, hour and a half is good, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, go check it out, man. We thank you all so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. You know, link will be in the description of this episode. You know, Podcast Petrified 24. And, you know, you can see my little popcorn bucket on there. I have it posted on there. So, yeah, go check it. Go check that out. Follow us. And, yeah, we will see y'all.
See you next week.